The following was recorded in front of a live studio audience at the Studio 21 Podcast Cafe. This is the United Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Quirky Dog Podcast, inspired by some of the quirkiest dogs you can ever imagine and the owners who love them. This podcast is brought to you by the quirky couple themselves, Scott and Jess Williams. Their aim is to educate and entertain. Here's Scott and Jess.
Welcome, guys, and happy Wednesday. Today, we are going to talk about expanding your dog's inner circle. Now, this may sound a little bit crazy, but we have a lot of clients and a lot of friends and a lot of former clients that sometimes want to get their dogs around other dogs, just, you know, their close-knit group of friends. So we have some tips and tricks today. But first, we're going to start with the quirky tip of the day. Uh-oh, there's two pigs today. All right, our quirky tip of the day today is brought to you by Viagen Pets. Viagen is a cloning company out of Texas. They clone dogs, cats, and horses. We've actually done a previous episode with Viagen. You can check them out at viagenpets.com. Their URL is in our description. And we have two pigs here today because it's as if the pigs were cloned. Although it is very important to note that if you do clone your animal, they're going to genotypically be the same, but not necessarily phenotypically be the same. So if you have a, you know, tri-colored Aussie, they're not going to come out with the exact same markings. They'll be the same color.
They might.
Well, they could, but the chances of a golden or, you know, a yellow lab or a chocolate lab looking the exact same are a little bit more similar. So our quirky tip today is brought to you by Viagen, and our quirky tip is to check out Sustenance Herbs Nature Repel Spray. I love this stuff. It is tick season. You got a tick on you just walking to the bench the other day.
Yesterday I took Jimmy for a little walk in the woods. Just 15 minutes, came back. There's a tick crawling on my pants.
Yeah, it's crazy. They are popping up. I just pulled one off sink, and this is my favorite holistic natural spray. I think when we originally did our tick episode years back, I wasn't using this product, but Sustenance Herbs Natural Repel Spray. We've also done a podcast with them. You can check it out and go on their website, order this. It is my favorite go-to. Dogs smell great. And it keeps the bugs away. Okay, so expanding your dog's inner circle. We need to expand our inner circle sometimes too. What does this look like for you?
I prefer to keep my circle very tight.
but really, I mean, when you think of this, we have a lot of clients that have this need and desire.
Well, I tell a lot of people, you know, they think their dog needs to be socialized, so they want to bring their dog to the dog park. And I tell them, not the best idea. And there's really no need for a dog to be running around with 15, 20 dogs that they don't know on a semi-regular basis. But on the other hand, I tell them if your parents own a dog, if you have cousins, friends, neighbors, people that you see on a, you know, at least once a month, twice a month or more, then you definitely should get your dog and the other dogs together and let them enjoy each other or work out any bugs. But these are dogs they're going to see for the next 10 years. I mean, you're not going to stop seeing family and friends that have a dog. So that's what this is about, is expanding this tight social circle for your dog, which should be just you and you may have, a lot of people have more than one dog, but there's no need to be seeing every dog on the street.
Yeah, and some dogs are very social and they do great at daycare and they do great at dog parks, but some dogs don't. However, you may want those three or four friends and family members to be able to associate with you, have their dog come over, be able to go to their house and everything else. So the first thing to really focus on is energy levels. So if you have a dog that is, you know, a little more fearful, a little more withdrawn, and the dog that you're trying to, you know, socialize it with or expand its inner circle towards or anything else is too much, you need to concentrate on that. That other dog needs to have a little bit better control. You don't just force that interaction and be like, no, this is going to be great. Everything's fine. Go and, you know, get out of your shell. Give them time to kind of get to know each other, but the dog isn't able to like pounce on the dog. Maybe the overly exuberant dog is dragging a leash around. Maybe the over exuberant dog is, you know, in some sort of pen or something where the dogs can just sniff and everything else. You really want to make sure that the energy levels are very rarely going to match. And if they're both very, very excited and aroused, that's not going to be a good combination either. And if they're both very fearful, you know, sometimes they work it out, but you're probably going to have two very different energy levels, whether it be a little bit forward or a little bit withdrawn or however you're looking at it, you need to play that appropriately. And if this is a long-term solution, there's no need for a short-term rush to get there. So you guys really need to methodically plan, like, okay, we're going to get together for, you know, 3 to 5 visits. We're just going to have the dogs on leash at our feet. They don't even need to sniff each other. They're just going to start getting used to existing, coexisting in the same space. Everyone is comfortable. There's plenty of room. You're not, you know, in this small corner of a kitchen where the dogs have to be meeting. You know, you can be in an outdoor area with, you know, a big porch or a barbecue or something else. There's room for the dogs to feel safe, but there's control. I think that's the number one thing to bring into this podcast is you need to create some layers of control to ensure that everything goes well. And you don't have to overdo it if, you know, the dogs are doing fine, but 3 to 5 sessions is not overdoing it. Some dogs may take closer to a dozen sessions. It just depends on what you have going on.
Yeah, well, I don't have the patience for a dozen sessions of anything, but what I would recommend is certainly the initial meeting would be ideal in a neutral area. So if you go into your parents' house, and quite often there's a big age difference. The people have a newer dog. Quite often it's a puppy. Puppies have crazy energy. And their parents, for example, have a dog that's 7, 8 years old that's doesn't have that energy level. So you have the mismatch of energy like just mentioned. But there's the issue of the potential for guarding of food bowls, toys, beds, things like that. If you're going to someone's house and that's that dog's house, I say this to people all the time, and women seem to identify with this much faster than men. But can you imagine if some woman came to your house and then started like crawling in your bed and then going and using your cosmetics and just like just taking over your house, going in the kitchen, going through pots and pans and just, you know, whipping up something to eat and leaving all the dishes in the sink. Well, that's like letting a puppy come over to your house and this other dog is just like grabbing the dog's toys and running around, jumping on them, probably pee on the dog's bed. Just really obnoxious behavior that's not acceptable. The dog is going to have a lower tolerance for that. I mean, the dog that's being visited. So when we have a dog come, you know, and it doesn't happen often, but we'd pick up toys. We'd pick up water bowls. I don't know if the puppy coming to our house or the adult dog coming to our house might have something that they don't know yet.
Yeah.
Could be kennel cough. It could be that respiratory virus. I don't want them slobbering all over my dog's bowl and then my dog is going in there and drinking it. So those are little precautions there. I would have the dogs on leash initially. More often than not, it goes fine, but to a point. So if you have, like just mentioned, the overexuberant dog, if they're playing, because older dogs like to play, but just not for as long a time, break it up before it starts to get a little bit ugly. When you see a dog, ideally, I would stop the session before one dog is retreating, trying to just find a space to get away from this other dog, and the other dog is right in their space. This is the kind of thing that happens in daycare quite a bit, where it's a free-for-all, and eventually, dogs start retreating away from all the fun because they just need a break. And if there's a dog that keeps getting in their face, then there can be the snapping and a dog showing some aggressive tendencies to communicate, give me some space. You don't want it to get to that point. So if you can have a good interaction for, you know, three to five minutes the first time, rather than say, oh, good, they play great, let's go have a beer and let the dogs play, I would, you know, end it before it goes south.
Yeah.
No, on those first, get a good feel for both dogs and how things are going.
Less is more, for sure. And, you know, sometimes you're not going to get to that interaction at first, like Scott talked about. So if you're doing this kind of meet and greet, a neutral ground is a great thing to think of and consider. Maybe even consider going for a little hike in the woods. Both dogs are on leash. They're not there to meet each other, but they're just able to be in each other's space, able to start to learn each other's smells and kind of just get comfortable in each other's presence. They'll sense, hopefully, that, you know, your friend or your family member that you're with have a close relationship and, you know, there's a good bond there. So we just want the dogs to start getting used to what it could be like. Rushing a situation that you want to last long term is not good. And overdoing something that seems to be going well isn't a good practice either. Just like Scott said, somebody's going to get burnt out. Somebody's going to get a little bit over the top. Somebody's going to get snarky. And two dogs that have never had an issue and that normally don't have issues with other dogs, it's very unlikely that there's just going to to be a huge problem and they're never going to be able to be together. A lot of people's anxieties and fears kind of start to play into this whole situation. And then the dogs are kind of sensing that and maybe it's escalating and creating a problem. But really, you guys, if you do this right and you intro slowly, there should be absolutely positively no issue. There just has to be some different layers that you'll take. The dog should be accustomed to crates. If the dogs aren't currently accustomed to crates, they should be able to do that. They should be able to be, you know, on a leash without dragging and pulling and barking. There's just some simple precautions that you can start to take. Now, we would go the route, and this is the route that we go with our clients who have aggressive dogs who now want to move in with, you know, their partner or their girlfriend or their, well, they're probably already living with their spouse, but, you know, they want to move in and they want to introduce these dogs to other dogs. Now we're talking more layers of obedience. We're going to have a really solid place command on the dog. We're going to make sure maybe the dog has a good downstay, like that type of situation for management at first to make sure that there isn't a big incident. But for the average pet dog that, you know, just doesn't really like other dogs, isn't really seeking other dogs out as dog friends, you don't need the dog to be best friends with your family's dogs or your friend's dogs. You just need them to be neutral. You just need them to coexist copacetically. That's very important.
It's great if they are best friends, you know, and they really look forward to seeing each other. But I would also keep in mind, if you're watching this podcast, first of all, you're concerned about your dog's behavior. You're concerned about your dog's well-being. You probably are doing some obedience. You wouldn't care to watch this podcast if you didn't care about all these things. So most likely you're the one whose dog is better behaved than the person you're going to visit. The person you're going to visit more often than not lets their dog be a dog. Dog does whatever he wants to do. The dog can do no wrong. And they're sometimes very obnoxious and poorly behaved. So now you have to decide how important it is that your dog play with this dog. Imagine if you had a little boy that's 7 or 8 years old, that has been raised not to talk back to his parents, to be, you know, well-behaved in public, and you bring him over to your friend's house, and the kid over there is like smoking a cigarette, and, you know, the parents are yelling at him, and he's breaking stuff, and he's a little maniac. Do you want, even though you really enjoy the adults there, do you want your kid getting influenced by this other kid that isn't really what you would like your kid to be like? Because the dogs are going to pick up the bad behaviors. A well-trained dog is not going to train a poorly behaved dog by association. The lowest
common denominator
is what's going to start to rise up.
Yeah.
So if the people that you're friends with, excuse me, have no desire to put control in their dog, the dog is obnoxious, occasionally bites, but not that often, you know, that kind of stuff, I would limit the interactions because they're not going to want to put any control on their dog. They're not going to want to put a leash on their dog. You know, they're going to want, let the dogs be dogs type stuff, because that's why their dog is the way their dog is in the first place. So not everybody that you know that has a dog is going to be good for dog play dates.
Yeah, no, 100%. I thought you were describing young Scott there for a sec when you were using that
analogy.
I
was a friggin' angel in front of adults.
All right, let's go to break super quick. When we get back, we're going to flesh this out a little bit more.
Want to keep up with all the latest from the Quirky Dog Podcast like me and Murphy here? Then make sure you head on over to the YouTube channel and subscribe. Or if you prefer to listen to the madness, go on over to iTunes or Spotify and follow the Quirky Dog Podcast. And hey, while you're there, leave a rating and review and let them know what you think of the show. Until then, keep it quirky.
If you'll notice, before break, I said flesh the other day. We were watching a podcast and Scott was researching flush. I always say, let's flesh it out. So I should be saying, let's flush it out. So I'm going to try to change that now. I'm about 200 and some in, but I'm going to try to change that. Along the lines of what you were talking about and the other dog, friend's dog, you know, being over the top and everything else, be an advocate for your own damn dog, you guys. If your dog is being an angel and this other dog is just clobbering your dog, make sure you can step in and say, hey, I'm going to go put my dog in the car. Like, don't let your dog just be basically abused by this overly exuberant doodle or whatever it may be, because that dog has no boundaries. And now all of a sudden your dog, little, like, you know, the best offense is a good defense. Like, this is too much. I don't want to handle this. You know what I mean? So this may not be the situation that every person out there is in. We're not big on making sure our dogs are friends with everyone. We want them to be able to pass dogs and we want them to be neutral and everything else. But our dogs' friends are mostly within the household. Everyone doesn't have a household of multiple dogs. So I understand that, you know, you want your dog to be able to at least exist with these other dogs, if not be friends. But there are some certain steps that you need to take to ensure that everyone feels safe, to ensure that everyone is safe, not just feels safe, but things aren't going to break out and there's not going to be a problem. And sometimes if you have a dog with a history of issues, you're going to take a lot of these steps and go slowly, and there may still be a muzzle at the other end of it. There's no shame in that. Sarah Carson puts a muzzle on her dogs, the Super Collie's mom, every time she brings a new dog into her household for months at a time. Like, there's no shame in that. If your dog is like standoffish and doesn't like new dogs, know what you have and condition them to a muzzle and make sure everyone stays safe. But make sure that you're really setting things up for the long game and not just hoping that the first barbecue goes great and everybody is just best friends right from the very beginning.
Yeah. And one dog play date or get together that I would discourage is neighbors that live close to you. And the reason for that, and I've just seen it so many times with clients, is that if, for example, the neighbor across the street has a dog, your dog likes that dog, they really enjoy each other, the dog, if he gets loose, he's going to run across the street to go visit the other dog, which means he can get hit by a car. And there's a lot of value put into across the street. I want to go over there. And it just scares me to think if my dog was, for some reason, was outside with or without me, there's nothing that would cause them to want to go out into the street, or they wouldn't even leave the property, but they would never just go running across the street because there's nothing over there for them to motivate them to do so. So I just get concerned about that, where if you want to have good control, you don't want your dog jumping a fence in your backyard to go see the neighbor's dog. Don't allow them to find a lot of value in each other so that they can't wait to get loose, yeah, to go see the neighbor.
Yeah, no, 100%. And like, if you're walking the dog on the street and the dog has friends in the neighborhood, be conscientious of not having those reps of the dog just dragging to the dog they want to see and being able to see that. You know what I mean? Dogs, all of a sudden, when they have reinforcement and they're joyful and they're ready to go, they're going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And now all of a sudden there's a patch of ice, or your mother's walking the dog, or something else. So be conscientious of what you're allowing and what's leading up to these friendships and what's leading up to these relationships, because we want to reward good behavior, right? Repetition builds behavior. So we want the dog to be somewhat collected, somewhat calm, like thinking in a thinking headspace at least, before it goes and gets to go wild with its friend, rather than losing its mind at the sight of the dog. And then again, things are just escalating quicker and quicker and quicker. And over arousal is not a good thing. That's why you see a lot of situations at dog parks and daycare and everything else where too many dogs are over the top, and then it all just bubbles up and all of a sudden you have a massive dog fight. And that can happen just with one-on-one too. Just because the dogs seem excited, that's a lot of energy going on. So you want to make sure that, you know, even if they're having a great time, they've been rolling around forever, call the dog out of play, shorten it up, give them a little bit of a break, let them decompress a little bit. Just like young kids at preschool, it can be too much at certain times. So be very conscious.
Yeah. And getting back to the obedience side of it, I mean, everyone that does competitive obedience at this point realizes that pattern training is not the best way to train a dog, because when the pattern isn't exactly the same, the dogs act like they never knew anything, all the hours you put into it, and the dogs act like they have no obedience at all because the patterns change and they don't know what's going on. So when you do see the neighbor's dog on the street, like Jess said, you certainly don't want to let your dog pull you across the street to see them, or up the driveway or down the sidewalk to see them. Sometimes, and I would probably 3 out of 5 times, I would walk that dog right. They wouldn't even have the interaction. I know they love each other, but today you're going to be working with me and we're just going to walk up the street, so that they don't expect that pattern of every time I see that dog, I'm going to drag your ass to the dog and we're going to have a big fun time.
Yeah, and get in the car and drive to the neighbor's house or the friend's house.
It's hard because when we see our dogs all of a sudden become so joyous and so excited and happy, we like that. You know, we love to see our dogs happy, but I'm not trying to be a control freak. I don't want anything to happen to the dog, and maybe I'm overprotective to a certain extent, and that could very well be, and it's only because I deal with dogs every day and people that have had very, big
traumatizing
problems.
Things, yeah,
just, cars, dogs getting hit by cars, dog fights, things that you would never want to happen to your dog, and so that's why I'm a little overly cautious. If I would rather heal my dog and then tell him sit and then tell him free and let him run and go see that dog loose if he's working with me. on occasion, rather than let him just pull right up to the other dog so they can rub noses and say hi.
Yeah. Some other things to consider, you know, when we're talking about this situation where, you know, you have the 3 to 5 dogs, they don't all have to be 3 to 5 dogs together, but 3 to 5 dogs within your circle of family and friends that you want to at least be able to exist together. Supervision, like we're going to be supervising you guys. We're not going to just throw the dogs out in the backyard here, especially the first few months of visiting together and no one's watching them. Like you're watching the dogs, you're supervising. If you're going to do your first interaction, your first greeting, don't do it on leash, okay? One dog can be on leash if it's going to be too much to control it. Do not have both dogs on leash. Owners pulling back and creating tension and making things worse for the dogs is always what seems to bubble up and escalate a situation. If you've had dog aggression in the past, any sort of dog aggression, I don't care what it was, little dogs, big dogs, brown dogs, white dogs, I don't care what it was, muzzle the dog that was aggressive. Make sure we're setting the situation up for safety. We do not want a big blow up here on the front end. You can have gates up, these types of different things where the dogs can sniff through and everything else. Sometimes that can create more barrier aggression. You're going to want to watch that. But be mindful of how you're doing this. Don't just say, oh, let's just see what happens. I hope it goes great. If you really want to set this situation up for long-term success, be thoughtful, have a plan. And don't let your anxieties and your fears override the situation. We so often are really like nitpicky and hovering and everything else, helicopter moms, if you will. And this doesn't help the dogs. Like dogs are dogs. They can be dogs. They are, they're bred to go and be on their own and be away from us and exist without us. They can do that. They can do that within their friendship. So you don't have to be hovering. Another thing I would highly discourage is dogs being up on different varying levels of heights. A little dog in a lap could be a lot more aggressive than a dog that's on the ground. When there's different hierarchies, if you will, where a dog can be on a couch or on a bed and the other dog is lower, that can create some more issues. So be thoughtful of these things. And then once everything's going great, just like we've been harping, don't just let it rip. Don't have the dogs out in the backyard for 3 hours and you don't know what's happening. Be mindful of checking in, making sure everything's going well, and making sure that everyone's feeling safe and secure.
Yeah. And another thing that, you know, I'm thinking about problems that have occurred. You can have a situation where your dog and two other friends' dogs get along well. You get together every week and they play and then they just lay in the grass and hang out in the sun. When a new dog comes in, there's a possibility that the two or three that are there are going to now get protective and aggress towards the fourth dog. And it's unusual, but again, it has happened where they're like, why did that happen? Well, they just decided they were in charge of the yard. Nobody else could come in the yard.
Yeah.
And another thing that you want to be thoughtful about is if you have a friend with a dog that you don't see more than once or twice a year, maybe every 6 months, if it went really well last time, it doesn't mean it's going to go well this time. You need to have a reintroduction, because when you get into 6 months of separation, think, you know, like, and this happened with a client where they went to a 4th of July party and the dogs had known each other, but they hadn't been there in a while. They let their dog loose out of the car. The dog went running up into the yard and boom, they had a big dog fight, right?
Yeah.
Because the dog who lived there, for whatever reason, did not see that dog like his old buddy from 6 months ago. He saw a dog running into his yard, and for whatever happened.
And things change.
Yeah.
Dogs, you know, develop
change.
Different conditions. They can have pain. You know, the owners can be more stressed or whatever else.
They can be protective of their owner or one of the kids there, and they don't want the other dog to, they don't want to share their kid with the other dog. There's all these little triggers, and people want, just don't understand. Why did that happen? Everything was great. Why did that happen?
Yeah.
So think about those little things, and, you know, don't be paranoid, but
be smart.
Be smart. Be a little bit cautious. Make sure everything is going well. And before you totally take off all the guardrails and let them just be dogs.
Yeah.
You know?
And just to close, be very mindful that your dog does not have to meet every single dog out there in the world. There is no reason why your dog needs to meet every dog it passes on the street. People feel this, like, you know, strong desire, like this polarization almost, like, oh, like the dog has to meet this dog. It's just very important. They have to see each other. No, they don't. The more value the dog has for you, the better. And the more that the dog can coexist with dogs that you absolutely necessarily need it to for your own social setting, the better. But make sure you're an advocate for your dog. Have different ways to implement control. Have different ways to make your dog feel protected. And have different ways to make sure that this is, again, a long-term setup and not a short-term disaster. Yeah. Anything I missed?
Well, I would just say, you know, if your friend is someone you know from obedience class, then the likelihood of these two dogs getting along fine and you both being able to control your dogs is dramatically increased and improved over you trying to have good control of your dog and the other dog, it's a free-for-all. And that's the typical scenario, and that's why it can be frustrating, because you're trying to have a dog that's well-behaved, a good canine citizen, and the other dog's a maniac. And that's tough because you like the people, but the dog, especially if it's a relative, it's like, I have to see these people. These are my parents. This is my brother or my sister. But sometimes it doesn't always work out.
Yeah,
and you just leave your dog home.
Yeah, if it's too much, you leave your dog home, and you should feel more than fine asking your friends or family to leave their dog home as well. That is a boundary that is very capable of being put up. You know what I mean? Even if people are traveling, there's ways that, you know, dogs can get boarded, and there's other people that can step in and watch the dogs. So be an advocate for your dogs and set everybody up for success.
Yeah, there's some kids I don't want at my house.
Oh my God, we don't want anybody at our house. But if you guys are looking to expand your inner circle, we were thinking that you might want your dog to expand his or her inner circle as well. Thank you so much for joining us here today. We hope that you guys have a wonderful, wonderful week, and we will see you next Wednesday. And in the meantime, keep it quirky. Oh, no. Here's the clone talking. Bye, guys. Have a good one.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts, guests, or callers of this program do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Studio 21 Podcast Cafe, the United Podcast Network, its partners, or affiliates.